Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Like Mother, Like Murder. Before we get into today's episode, I am here without Heather. It's so sad, but I am here to announce some giveaway winners. So we have been running over this past weekend a little giveaway on our socials on Instagram and Facebook. So if you're not following us there, maybe you should go do so. It's like_mother_like_murder. And this giveaway is actually kind of just a comedic response, if you will, to a very negative one-star review that we got. And, you know, we get them, that's fine. But this one is a little over the top. I don't need to read it. They don't need any more display. But what this is about is there's so many people who are supportive, who are kind, who go out of their way to lift people up. And so we have 22 people on this wheel of names, and we are going to pick three. The third place and the second place will get stickers or a keychain, and then that last drawing will be for some Like Mother, Like Murder merch. And so here we go. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but it is spinning. Drum roll, please. The third place winner is Crime Time with Connie. So I will be reaching out to you. Look, it's applauding you. Thank you so much for always being so supportive and always so amazing. And the second place person that will be getting a little goodie, a little Like Mother, Like Murder goodie, is going to be, let's see, it's so slow. Oh my gosh, it did Crime Time with Connie again. Is this fixed? Connie, maybe I need to send you two things, but that's not going to take place for the second person. Let's spin it again. If it gets you again, I quit. This just shows you how live this is. Okay, so the second person is Stacy. Stacy is with Early on Wednesday. If you guys are not following them, you should be. She is one of the most supportive people out there. She is always just so positive and uplifting, and I freaking adore her. And we're going to be recording with her soon, so stay tuned for that. And then our first place, you guys, so this one will receive the Like Mother, Like Murder shirt. Here we go. It is spinning. Is going to be Natasha with Cryptid Creeps and Conspiracy. You guys, thank you so much. It's still clapping for you, girl. Thank you guys so much for sharing our stuff and, you know, just putting a smile on our face after such a freaking shitty review from some awful person. So I will be reaching out. And again, anyone who went out of their way to share these things, we adore you. We love you guys. All right. Now for today's episode. Okay. Love you. Bye.
Hello, Like Mother, Like Murder listeners. On Saturday, May 11th, Lifetime released Mommy Meanest, which they said was based on a case Like Mother, Like Murder covered August of 2023. So this case, Kendra Licari, was convicted after spending over a year cyberbullying her own daughter and her daughter's boyfriend. So in the Lifetime movie, Lisa Rinna and her real-life daughter, Delilah Bell Hamlin, play fictionalized versions of this mother-daughter duo.
The real-life Licari is still serving her sentence where she has been since April of last year, but could potentially be released as early as November of this year. As a special treat today, since it's been a while, we are going to re-release our coverage of the case so you can all listen, then go watch it for yourselves.
I need to watch it. I still haven't watched it.
Yeah, I will be watching it as well. We talk a lot about the unfortunate powers of the phone and the ability to hide behind a phone. And I feel like I don't like watching movies. I definitely will go watch this because it's something portraying something that we covered. But still, I feel like it's going to eat me alive because stuff like this. And how could you do this to your child? How Seriously. Could you do this to your child?
We talk about it a lot and in the episode.
I'm glad she was held accountable.
100%. We talk about this a lot in the episode where Kendra Licari has definitely got some shit going on in her head. It is May. It is Mental Health Awareness Month. So let's hope she's getting the mental health
help she
awareness
needs.
That she needs. And I also, you know, we did talk about this in the episode. I really hope that her daughter also has received the help that she needs to get through this because, I mean, traumatic, incredibly traumatic. So
it's definitely, definitely awful. But yeah, here it is. Check it out and talk to you guys later. I love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Welcome to Like Mother, Like Murder. I am Rachel.
And I'm Heather.
We bring you the good,
the badass,
and the crime.
This is
Like Mother,
Like Murder.
Get it right. Get it right.
Get
it tight.
Get it right. Get it tight. Mm-hmm. Get it right. Get it tight. Welcome to Like Mother, Like Murder.
Like Mother, Like Murder. Welcome, welcome.
Our second official recording episode of our new brand.
Season
and we're
two.
Loving it. We're mm-hmm. loving it. We hope you guys are too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, are you ready, Rachel,
for
this story?
Absolutely.
So, one thing. After our kind of crazy and sad and just like heartbreaking case last week, I wanted to bring something a little more tame because that was a rough one. I mean, it was good and I'm really glad we started off with that because I think it's a very important case. But I don't know if I could do that 2 weeks in a row. So
I'm spoiler. Sure that, I mean, I know I appreciate it and I'm sure the others appreciate it as well. So thank you for that.
There you go. There you go. So spoiler alert, nobody actually dies in this one. This is a crazy mom crime. So we're definitely still, you know, heavy on the mom, but a little light on the murder in this one. And the county prosecutor in this case, he actually, when they were talking to him about it, he said that this is one of the most confusing and complicated cases that he'd ever had to deal with.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
We're going to get into it. And this is going to be pretty short and sweet. Well, not so much sweet as like psycho. And just like mess up, but it does go pretty quickly. Okay. It's kind of crazy. Okay.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
I am. Okay.
So one thing I do want to say before I really start is that because I think one of the main victims in this case is a minor, in every article that I read, they don't actually release her name because Good. I think because she's a minor. Right. So for the sake of this, we're just going to call her Jane. So throughout the story, I will be talking about Jane. So Jane is your typical American teen. She is in high school in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Mount Pleasant. I know. Do you think it's really a pleasant place?
I don't know. Let me hear what the story's about.
Well, after you hear the story,
I'm not quite sure. Mount Pleasant ain't so pleasant anymore.
I would say so. Right. So she has a boyfriend, Owen. Do you remember young high school love?
Unfortunately, I do.
Just makes me think when we both, you know, had our boyfriends and we were like, where were we going? We were on the way to like camping and we're like taking pictures with like
our stuffies.
the teddy bears that both of them had given us. And we're like, we're going to all be together forever.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should have drowned ourselves in the ocean that day.
Little did we know that although we thought those boys were our soulmates, we are each other's soulmates, Rachel. The fruit of my loop. And so it doesn't matter that they're no longer in our lives because we have amazing men in our lives and we have each other in our lives. And that's what matters.
Mine's still in my life. He's my baby daddy.
I mean, true. That is very true. You'll never get rid of him, that's for sure. We love you, Deanie. Love you.
Just a sidebar, since you said this is a quick story, I just have to add this in really quick. Last night, which is so funny, we were watching the World Cup and we're sitting on the couch. And because we're watching the World Cup, we started talking about soccer players and soccer in general, because that was a huge part of my life. And I was like, oh yeah, technically, like, my first boyfriend, who wasn't really my boyfriend, but it was like my boyfriend, like, in middle school.
Yeah.
He's a professional soccer player right now. And he's like, what? So I, like, pulled up the pictures and I'm showing him and he's like, it was just weird. Like, why do I pull that up? You
know? I didn't even know that. That's crazy.
You didn't know me back then.
I didn't. Middle school, we didn't really. I mean, I knew who you were because you were Sadie's. I knew. I was like, oh, that's Sadie's best friend. Right. You know, because, like, I knew who Sadie was. That's funny.
Also, I would like to just say, I got most athletic in middle school. You're welcome.
Yes, you did, girl.
I wasn't smart, but I could play a sport. So I just want to point that out.
Speaking of, I couldn't really play sports, but I was smart. So I got, what was the balance. One? Most likely to succeed in middle school, I think I got. Oh, my God. Dude, my mom just gave me my middle. Yes, I was going to say my mom just gave me back our middle school yearbook. We're totally going to post those pictures.
Yeah, please send them to me because I don't have the yearbooks. I can't find them. But I have, like, a cutout. It was me and the other boy. His name was Caesar. Not my ex, but the other guy I got.
I'll send it. My mom literally just gave me a box of all my old yearbooks. So fun. I will find it.
Yes. All right. Here it comes, guys. Okay. I'm so sorry. Owen and Jane, please get back into the story.
Owen and Jane. Young high school love. Living it up. Mm-hmm. Living their best high schooler lives. Not a care in the world. I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing at this point. But in early 2021, Jane and her boyfriend Owen start receiving messages. Text messages, social media messages, and I'm not just talking your average scam texts or sugar daddy or, hey, do you want to be a brand representative for this, that, and the other, blah, blah, blah.
That's our entire inbox.
I know. No, these messages are bad. Okay, so according to the county prosecutor, they were, quote, harassing type text messages, demeaning, demoralizing, and just mean.
People suck.
Which we've all been there at some point where, you know, you receive some kind of mean message, whether it's from someone you know or not. And, you know, in high school, it's tough. You're at a very vulnerable point in your life where you're dealing with a lot of things. You're turning into a young adult. And this is, like, you know, not cool. Not cool.
You also, you care more what people think at that age. And it's unfortunate because how much better would your experience have been if you could live like how I'd be living right now, where I don't give a shit. I don't care at all. And honestly, actually, back then, I really didn't either. And I'm thankful for who I was back then because I really didn't care then either.
Yeah, girl.
But so many people do.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate.
And I like to think that I'm a confident person. And even back in high school, you know, I like to think I was a pretty confident person as well. And yeah, some people said shit and I'm like, okay, get over yourself. But no, like, there are still times where I remember, like, you guys, I remember there being, I think it was MySpace, because Facebook was around, but I don't think we really had Facebook in high school. It was all about MySpace, right?
You were not on my top eight.
Oh, no, we weren't on each other's top eights, but that didn't mean that we weren't.
I'm going to hold that.
Well, except
you.
when top eight turned to, like, top 16, or then, like, you could just put, like, 10, and then you could put, like, 50. I think you made it when we changed
50.
From
50. I made it 50. Thank you.
No.
Thanks. As long as I made it.
You did. I know. I think at some point, especially senior year, when we got like really, really close, you were definitely up there.
Okay. Anyway.
But I do remember, I think it was a MySpace like page or some whatever it was, where they were like, Heather, something, something, Heather has the most annoying voice. And it was a whole page.
Someone made a page about you?
And someone made a whole page about, like, you know, Heather McLernan, that was my maiden name, Heather McLernan has the most annoying voice. And I was like, this is fucked up. Like, and I remember that.
That
and
page
I remember
was on my top eight. Just kidding.
Which, I mean, now I'm like, no, I really do. Listen to my podcast. I have the most annoying fucking voice. Like, we've both said that, right? Like, oh my gosh, what is with our voice? But back when you're like 17 years old, like, that's a rough thing.
Right.
And so, like, I remember that to this day. So it sticks with you.
Yeah.
So anyway, these kids are dealing with like mean things and they eventually do go to their parents. Okay. And by December 2021, Jane's mom, Kendra, who is actually a basketball coach at the school, and Owen's mom, Jill, they bring it to the school. And so they bring it to, you know, the administration at the school, and together the moms show the evidence of like, this is incessant cyberbullying. Look, our kids are receiving these mean, demoralizing text messages. And
did they have who it was from at this point, or was
no,
it like
a it was all anonymous
thing? Okay.
It was, so that was what was rough. But, yeah. It was all anonymous, and it would come from different, like, it would come from like different numbers. It would come from different accounts. Like, it wasn't a single one. So I think that's what made it kind of harder to track. And sometimes one thing I read is that they were getting up to 12 texts and or messages a day from this faceless anonymous source, who the way that this source kind of spoke, it kind of was claiming to also be like a high school aged kid who knew Jane and Owen like personally. Yeah. Like, the messages were personal. And these messages, they contained like really hateful speech. You know, they would call them messed up names, and they would say things like kill yourself, which, again, I mean, we've talked about how vulnerable you are when you're that age and how you're really trying to find yourself. And, you know, like the stuff you're receiving that can really have an impact on. And we've seen so many. I mean, you guys know there are cases where this type of cyberbullying and these type of messages and people telling you go kill yourself, like, that does result in, you know, kids taking their own lives. And
you can be held accountable for that.
Yeah, you can.
You absolutely can be held accountable for that. So
what was that case? Was that girl?
I can see her face right now.
I can see her face. But she basically,
I'm blank right now.
She, you know, she was sending those kind of messages to her boyfriend, and then she was held freaking accountable. So
she should be.
Yeah, 100%. Anyone should be. They're gonna be jerks like that. Okay. So the two moms, Kendra and Jill, they bring it up to the school, and the school actually ends up passing along all the information to local law enforcement. So ultimately, the school made the decision that they couldn't find evidence. They couldn't find proof that the harassment was actually taking place like on school property, and it didn't like use school devices. It's not like someone was logging into the school computers to like send it. So they didn't really know like how to handle it. So a month later, in January 2022, they did pass it on to local law enforcement, and the cops take over the case. Definitely. And when the police take over the case, Kendra and Jill, the moms, they're still working with authorities to try to figure out what's going on. And at this point, you know, even though it's been reported to the school, even though it's been reported to the cops, the messages are still coming in. So Jane and Owen are still getting, you know, these messages. And at one point, Jane's mom, Kendra, she actually suggests that the culprit, she points to another kid that goes to the
goes to school with Jane and Owen, but the police couldn't really find any evidence of that, so they have to keep working the case. They're right. still trying to figure out who this anonymous source is. And eventually, the FBI gets involved. Wow. So we've talked a bit before about the FBI and their it's the Internet Crime Complaint Center that's kind of like part of that. And they take on, you know, cybercrime, like crime that happens with computers. And because if you think about it, it's really easy for someone from another state to be cyberbullying someone from, you know, this state and using computers to do it. And so that's where, you know, the FBI, you know, because it's crossing state lines, you know, they come into the case here. And so,
so you say like another state, but if this person like knows them and is doing personal stuff and they think it could be someone at school, like,
yeah,
it doesn't have to just be,
it doesn't. Like, no. And lines. I think that part of the FBI getting involved too is, you know, they have a whole cyber, you know, right. like they're like internet sleuths. And so like, if, even if it wasn't out of state, they are the ones that can be tracking IP addresses and that kind of thing, right?
Good.
So one thing when I started looking at the FBI and kind of the what they talk about in terms of cyberbullying, as early as 2013, which is now like 10 years ago, and at the time of this case, like 9 years ago. So just imagine, like, even before, the FBI had said that the amount of cyberbullying reported to that crime complaint center was starting to increase. And what it also said was that since the pandemic,
of course,
there was a 40% increase wow. in cyberbullying.
Wow.
Which is just like,
if tales of ghostly hauntings, Bigfoot encounters, extraterrestrial interactions, and cosmic awakenings are your cup of tea, then join me, Eric Szilagyi, host of Uncomfortable Podcast, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Make Uncomfortable your home for the topics that reside on the fringe of our reality. Eyewitnesses, researchers, and experiencers join me on a weekly basis to delve into their paranormal and otherworldly experiences. Heard in over 65 countries worldwide, follow Uncomfortable Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your casts. Uncomfortable is now presented in video form on YouTube as well. So, as always, my friends, stay uncomfortable.
That, like, that to me, it's just obviously, I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. But obviously, people had way too much free time.
Yes.
Second of all, the amount of like negative impact on people's mental health and then the fact that they take it out on other people because they're in right. such a bad place. It's just right. it's so hard. It's so yeah. hard. And you can't do that. You cannot be this keyboard bully, faceless person yeah. doing something like that to someone else.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I was going to say. I mean, the pandemic, we know, obviously, there was a lot of physical health issues that came out of the pandemic, but there were so much mental health issues, especially for kids in that situation where they're stuck inside. Their whole school routine is turned upside down, and now they're all behind a keyboard.
Right.
Right? So... research related to cyberbullying, it actually started as early as the early 2000s, but it became much more discussed, much more researched in like 2008, 2009, which makes sense because that's when I feel like, for me at least, like that was my prime, like I'm social on, media. Like I get home from school, I'm immediately like on my MySpace and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And then one statistic I found was that in 2021, in a national sample of teenagers, so like 13 to 17 years old, 23.2% had been cyberbullied in the last month. So in the last month, that's basically one in four kids
that's so sad.
Was cyberbullied. And that's just in the last month. So that's not even like across their whole lives, right? Like maybe it happened to them. Like that's just, it's, oh.
Yeah, it's sad. It is so sad. It is so sad.
Yeah. And so the research said that it tends to peak around age 14, 15. And then it does decrease a little bit as the teens get a little bit older. But I mean, that's just, again, 14, 15, you're at such like a vulnerable stage in your life and you have so much going on. And it's just like, that's a very, like, that's a time where like the things that are happening to you lifelong.
You hold
like,
on life, to it. You hold on to it. Yeah, it is. That's when you are creating your being and your identity, and they affect you. That's for sure.
100%. So one thing I wanted to bring to this episode just really quickly before I get back into the story is like, what can we do as parents to kind of help this out? So this was actually written, you know, this comes from the FBI website, and it said a few things that we can do as parents. Communicate clear expectations to your children about appropriate behavior and privacy, that, you know, in general, but also especially online.
Right.
Okay. And the biggest thing is to like communicate that like out loud, you know, and know and or control, depending on, you know, maybe how old your child is, what apps are on the different devices in your home. So know what apps are downloaded on an iPad, on their phone, on, you know, whatever. And know who your child is talking to, whether by text, whether by email, whether by social media. Like, I'm not sure chat rooms are as big of a thing anymore, but like, just they know.
They absolutely are. They're a big thing. And even just in games, like, you know, whether it's like a Discord or like a game you can be playing and they're these real,
Oh, man. See, I don't have, my kids can't write yet. So, like, it kind of scares me, but.
It's terrifying. But the points that what you're giving, you know, is important. So, continue.
Yeah. And then know what information they're sharing. Like, know what photos they're sharing. Know what videos they're sharing. Know what personal information they're sharing. Like, they think they're talking to a friend and they show them a picture of the outside of their house. Like that's scary. Right. So like we need to make sure that our kids know like what is and what isn't okay to share with people. And what probably makes the most difference, again, this is from the FBI website, is parents and kids should be working together. Mm-hmm. Right. This should be an open communication and an open discussion. And the best thing you can do as a parent is to build that relationship with your child where both of you feel comfortable talking to each other about what your child's online experience is, right? Like you need to make sure that you're allowing your kid the space to feel like they can come and talk to you.
Right.
And when I was talking to Zach about it, one thing that he said, which I think is, you know, also very good, is like this starts obviously before the child is even going to have an online experience. This starts when they're very young. They need to have, like you and I were talking about, like they need to have that self-confidence. And so instilling in your child that self-worth and that self-confidence that, you know, if they do start getting trolled, that they can try to let that slide off as much as, like, again, like, I thought I was confident, but that shit hurt my feelings, right?
Right.
Obviously, like, that happened when I was a teenager. I'm still talking about it 20 years later. Like, you know what I mean? Right. So, but, like, but having that confidence where, you know, they, that it's hopefully not getting to them on a deeper level, and that if they do feel like it is, they can come talk to you about it.
Teaching our children their worth.
What else would you say, having kids who are that age,
what's terrifying? And you know, it's, we've had situations here and it's a home with, you know, four parents involved, and you have to try to work together, and it's hard because we live in a world right now, and it has been, where phones are glued to people's beings. Social media is something that is so, like, people want to be a part of, and maybe, you know, whether they don't think they're cool enough because they're not doing something, they, you know, they feel like they have to be a certain way to either fit in or be like kind of make it, I guess, is the point I'm trying to get to. But yes, it's not just social media. It's not just emails or texts or however you're saying it. It is these other games. I mean, and you can even like, there's TikToks that'll go where people are just playing a game and maybe it's not even someone you're talking to all the time. And the person in the game is just saying like, oh, you're, you know, calling names and like saying very like mean
what
things.
What is that?
And that's, yeah, it's just people thinking that they're cool because they're acting some sort of way. And it's not. It's not. So I don't know when this kind of shift in being rude became a cool thing, but it's not. And so how do you change that, especially with someone who, like with people who are already at a certain point, you know what I mean? Like, so it is very hard, but that open communication, guidelines, trust has to be built. And I don't know. So people, whoever has examples or stuff, send it our way. But I think the tips that you gave and that information is highly important. And it does terrify me because seeing like how it was back in our day, even you, that was so long ago for you and you hold on to that and things have only progressed and gotten worse and gotten, you know, more evil out there, I guess is like.
For sure.
Unfortunate way to say it. But to think about my daughter who wants a phone and who wants to do this. And I'm just like, girl, there ain't no way. But she also, like, let me just say a little funny snippet of bullying is 100% a real thing, obviously. But some people, and it's because she's young, don't really understand the terminology or exactly what it means because – she'll tell me she was bullied, which I'm sure that it happens even at my daughter is 8.
Sure, yeah.
But she'll also tell me if I tell her, okay, I need you to go put your napkin away, you don't need to bully me. I'm like, okay, so you don't know what that means, you know? So I'm just like,
oh my gosh.
Put your fucking napkin in the trash can right now before I bully you. But just, God, you know? Anyways, that's different, but
no, but I mean, I so think scary. It's but it is important, right? Like you said, even at her age, because I'm sure it's happening, you know, in ways that she's not understanding the definition. Right. So, like, yeah, it's, I think it starts young, and I think that's what we need to remember
for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So back to Jane and Owen. So like I said, FBI got involved in April 2022 after it had been passed on, you know, to the police from the school a few months earlier. So at this point, you know, it's been months of thousands of messages and it's continuing on. And this anonymous bully, so the reason they were having difficulty and the reason they got the FBI involved is because they were using software that would hide the identity of the sender. So they use the VPN, which basically makes it to where your IP address can't really be tracked. But eventually, you know, the FBI being the freaking FBI, their cyber team, they were able to connect the text to an IP address in the Mount Pleasant area.
Okay. Knowing that it's there.
Yes, exactly. They were able to narrow down the perpetrator to the local area. And one thing I read from the prosecuting attorney was basically, because the VPN, it's supposed to mask your IP address. But what they found was that this IP address was popping out right before the messages were being sent and then popping back in after. So, yeah, they couldn't exactly track the IP address. It's, but they could see when the IP address was coming in and out, right? So basically the person was using the VPN and then they could match the times when they were using it to when the messages were being sent, right? Okay. And then the other thing they were able to tell, which I find this like so crazy, is they were able to tell that the person was using an iPhone to do it.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. And then from there, they were able to match a phone number because they were able to tell, okay, this isn't coming from a computer. It's coming from a phone. And they were able to match the phone number. And guess who the phone belonged to?
Owen.
No.
God, was it a mom?
Yes.
No.
It was Jane's own mother.
What a... Oh, my God.
Yeah. So Kendra Licari, Jane's own mother, had been sending...
And the text messages was... Wait, hold on. Because we've gone to so many sidebars. Only going to her daughter, or were they going to Owen, too? They were going to both,
both of them? Both. So Kendra, Jane's own mom, for months had been sending thousands of hateful messages to her own daughter and her daughter's boyfriend. Okay. And at one point, she tried to frame another kid. Right. So not right, only yeah, is she like dragging she... her daughter and Owen, but now she's dragging another kid into it.
Oh, you know, I should have immediately like thought of them, which I guess I was not, because I do think.
Because your thought should be, how in the world can a mother do that to their own child?
100%. But as soon as I mean, we've seen worse from moms
before, but like, yeah, for real?
Yeah. Yeah. But you know how, like, even in a crime, right? So, like, whether it's missing, murder, whatever, the person puts themselves at the center of it, whether it's an investigation or right. the service or right. whatever it is. So for this mother to just, you know, try to find this person and try to be helpful yep. and try to like
yep.
go to the school and continue and try to work with FBI. And it's like, they're putting themselves right at the center. It's the exact same situation.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So they obviously, they go talk to her, they confront her with the evidence, and she pretty much confesses when she's confronted.
Well, she's got so you.
Yeah, like, it's hard evidence right here, baby. Like, come on here.
Yeah.
So she said that she hadn't sent the early harassing text messages, but then she just fed off from it and began to send them. And I'm just like,
so she saw that her daughter was getting bullied by someone else, and then she was like, you know what I'm going to do?
I'm going to jump
make
in on
it
this.
Worse.
Yeah. That, according to her, that's what it was. And then she goes on to say that she got, quote unquote, caught up in sending the messages and just kept sending them. And it's like, I'm sorry. This was happening for months. For months.
Wow.
So after her confession, she's obviously like arrested and she's charged. And they charged her with two counts of stalking a minor, mm-hmm. right? Two counts of using computers to commit a crime. And one count of obstruction of justice, because she knew what was going on and she wasn't, you know, she probably lied when she first was talking to cops about it. Well, not probably. She definitely lied when she was first talking to cops about it, right?
For sure.
So when the evidence, like, is all coming out, they said there was hundreds of pages of text and messages from social media. And they said it was, you know, a large, like a huge digital footprint. Once they like were able to track it, like they were able to find all this. And we've talked about this before on like several cases, but like everything you do can be tracked.
For sure.
So just don't fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like, don't do these things. Not just because it can be tracked, but just like in general, don't fucking do it. So
it's like everyone thinks like they have that like not me mentality as
yeah.
if it yeah. won't go the length or go the distance of, like, figuring it out.
Yeah.
And also, like, what piece of absolute garbage
horrible. Yeah.
would do that to their child? That is just – it's so sad.
Yeah. That, so God, sad.
Suck, man.
It's like, what the hell? Like, what the hell? Eventually, she does plead guilty to the two counts of stalking. And as part of, like, the plea deal, they drop the rest of the charges. And then get this. She was, you know, throughout the trial, there's one point where she is released on bond. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, well, I hope part of that bond conditions is that she's order. Not allowed to freaking use her phone.
Oh.
But, like, give her one of those old like, school flip phones.
How do you live with your mom after that? You know what I mean?
Well,
so it's like, for me, it's like, how, yeah, go ahead.
That's the whole thing, is because as part of the bond agreement, she wasn't supposed to contact her daughter.
Good.
But she did. Oh. And they filed a motion to revoke her bond, because they said, like, look, you know, this trial, I mean, it's probably part of a standard trial. Like, hey, if you're out on bond, you shouldn't have any contact with the victims of your crime. And so, yeah, but she did. She tried to contact her daughter. She's eventually sentenced to 19 months to 5 years in prison on the counts. And the judge, he said that because the trial is over, you've been sentenced. He said at this point, you know, you could be free to contact your daughter. Maybe at this point, too, maybe her daughter turned 18. So, like, the rules are different. But ultimately, the judge said, like, it's up to the family as to whether or not they want to rebuild that relationship, which is, and I'll tell this next part, makes me so sad in terms of rebuilding the relationship. But so when it came to her sentencing, you know, a lot of times at sentencing, they let the person who's been convicted of the crime and obviously like the victims of that crime speak. And so when Jane's mom, Kendra, was speaking, she was supposedly emotional and she said, you know, oh, I'm sorry. And she said she was getting help for her own issues, which is like, yeah, you clearly have
for
some.
Sure. That's obvious. Yeah.
And then, you know, they also let the victims talk about it. And because, you know, their feelings should also be taken into account when it comes to the sentencing. So Owen, the boyfriend, who I think is not the boyfriend at this point, I think, you know, they broke up at this point, but him and his family were like, hell no, like, this lady deserves hard time, like, throw the book at her, like, this is messed up stuff. And this part makes me so sad, her own daughter, so Jane, she wanted leniency for her mom.
Right.
One article that I read is that she didn't want to feel responsible for putting her mom in prison. And I'm like, first of all, your mom has to take responsibility for her own actions. You're not responsible for putting your mom in prison. She did that to herself. But like the fact that her daughter just went through cyberbullying for months and months and months to come to find out that it was her own mother doing it, and then to make the decision that, like, I don't want to feel like I'm putting my mom in jail.
It's true, like, victim mentality, though. Like, that's, I mean, exactly, it makes,
yeah,
how that is.
I'm like, and it's rough, right?
That's so sad. That, yeah, just, it hurts because I can absolutely see where she's coming from, you know, and it's right. Like, you, it's unfortunate, but you would feel that guilt or that,
right,
that pain for something like that. And you can still be mad. You can still be angry.
Yeah, for
you
sure.
Can still have all of those feelings towards the person who does that. But then also it's like, you know, she probably has seen her mom struggle, it sounds like, and knowing that she needs help, you know, but that is, it's,
oh, yeah,
poor girl.
I know. So when the judge, you know, gave the sentence, he said one thing that, you know, it was, you know, at the least 19 months up to 5 years. Right. And the judge sentenced that because they said, and they're correct, there could be long-term trauma to these kids, right?
So
long-term
trauma. And I know, obviously, with you saying that Jane, you know, has that
feeling, yeah.
Yes. But it's like, even for Owen, these families should be suing, these children should be suing her for the amount of money it's going to take therapy-wise.
For therapy. For 100%.
Feel their, to gain their worth and their confidence and their value back, because that
for
was
sure.
stripped from them.
Yeah. And so the judge, yeah, they were like, look, there could be long-term trauma to these kids. And then the judge also said, like, also to the community, like, this lady was a frickin' basketball coach at their school. And so for the kids at that school to just, even if they, you know, if they find out what happened, like, oh my gosh, you know, right. So like, yeah, that's true. Like this community has to deal with the fact that someone who was allowed to be at the school, a mother of one of the students, was responsible for this kind of behavior. So, yeah, so that's basically it. So she's sentenced. But like, one thing that gets me is like that I couldn't, and like they specifically said it in a lot of these articles, what in the world was her motive? Like, clearly she's got issues. But, like, what did she want or what was she trying to get out of these messages? When I was telling Zach about this case, he's like, what? Did she not like the boyfriend? Did she, like, what was going on? And I was like, I don't know.
Has she ever released a statement of why?
No, she never said. She just said that, you know, she's working through her own issues. And so it makes me think, like, one thing I'm thinking, it makes me think of almost like Munchausen's by proxy, but instead of inflicting like physical harm to her daughter, she's inflicting emotional harm to her daughter, and then she gets to talk to police about it. She gets to talk to the school about it. She gets to talk to the FBI about it, you know, and then, I mean, maybe, but then the fact that she's also going after like the daughter's boyfriend too, I don't know.
I guess like my head goes to this really sick, twisted thing where none of this is valid. None of this came from the story. Obviously, I don't know the story.
But this is alleged.
In my head, allegedly speaking, instantly I create this whole scenario in my head where this mother misses her youth and this time in her life. And maybe she sees her daughter happy and she sees her daughter thriving in an environment. And she either like had that life once, or maybe she didn't have that, you know.
I can see
either
that, yeah.
way, but it's like whether she had that and she misses it and she wants it back, or she didn't get to have what her daughter has. So now she feels the need to come in and kind of ruin that or take that away or strip that away. And it's such a messed up thought, but that's exactly like where my head goes of like just
that makes me think of Wanda Holloway, like forcing her daughter into a situation, like forcing, right. like doing this, you know, because she felt some type of way about her own child.
Right.
Ooh. Yeah. You guys, we all have trauma. We all have trauma. And it's very unlikely that as a parent, we're never going to let that trauma somehow impact our parenting. Like, it's just bound to happen. But please don't let it be in this way. Like, come on.
No.
Let's all be better than that. Right. Better people and better parents. Like,
if your child has something that you didn't have, be grateful, be thankful. Right. No, you're doing a good job. If your child doesn't have something that you did have, if they're struggling and you didn't have that, find a way to give it to them. Find a way to make it okay, make it right, make it better. Don't administer this psycho situation onto your kids. So
I know. It's really crazy. So
poor baby.
Jane, Owen, we wish you the best. I mean, they were high schoolers at this time, so they're probably like getting ready to graduate, go to college, like, right. you know, and I just hope you guys know that this was, first of all, it's not your fault, Jane. You're not responsible for your mother's actions. And you just have to understand that, you know, people, including parents, are fucked up sometimes. But, you know, you do what you need to do. Go to therapy. Go to whatever you need to do to try to move past it and get where you need to be. And Kendra, just get your shit together. Lady,
yeah,
like you need to go to therapy too, and you need to really work hard on yourself, because that's not it's not okay, right?
Yep.
So,
Jane in air quotes. If you make the choice to forgive your mother,
good for you.
We understand that. If you make the choice to not forgive your mother, we understand
good for
that.
You. Yeah,
you know, and don't let anyone else's view
opinions
or,
tell you yes, yeah do yes. what do what you need to do girl follow right. your heart and just because you make a decision one day doesn't mean you can't take it back the next. If you decide I'm gonna forgive her and then a year from now you're like, no, actually I'm still holding on to this, I need a break, then fucking do what you need to do for yourself at that time, because we are human, and just because we make a decision doesn't mean we can't change it later.
Right.
So, and especially because, like, as you grow, you're going to work through more and more of what this meant to you as a person. So do what you need to do whenever you need to do it. And don't feel like you have to stick to a decision, because that's one thing, like, I think about all the time, like people who potentially have hurt you or traumatized you or whatever in the past. It's like, okay, I forgive this person. And then you start thinking about it, you know what, actually, like, I don't feel good. Like, maybe one day I'm okay with it. The next day I'm not. And that's okay. That's human. That's normal. So
I truly hope that this situation, this is one of those what doesn't kill you makes you stronger type thing.
I hope so, yes. Where for both she, Jane and Owen.
Yeah. And I keep saying she as if he wasn't a victim to it too, so I apologize. But to both of them, I do hope that that's exactly what it is and that you just grow and realize. Mm-hmm. And that's so hard. But I know. Wowzers. Hey, moms, do better. Don't do that.
Yeah, come on, guys.
For the moms out there, do not bully your children and send them hateful messages and hurt them. Don't do that.
Just don't do that.
For real. Wow, Heather. Yeah.
But yeah. Well, the CC, I was trying to go like lighter and not murdery, but this one hits hard on the parenting factor. Like it really does. And so, but you know, I thought it was, we haven't talked. I mean, we've talked about cybercrime, you know, on Dating Will Be the Death of Me. We talked about like some crazy cybercrimes and stuff, but this one is very specific. And it's an issue out there, you guys, cyberbullying. So just, you know, if you're not already involved in your child's online life, like make sure, you know, that you're doing those things I talked about and have that open, honest, communication with your kids. I think that's very important. And it really opens my eyes. I mean, like, obviously, like I've seen stuff about cyberbullying. We've all seen like, you know, things like that. But like my kids are young and I don't think about it. But you know what? It's never too early to start thinking about it and instilling in your child, you know, those what's right, what's wrong, you know, that self-worth and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Raise your babies up. Don't bring them down. Yeah. Don't pull them down.
Yes.
Yes.
I love
yes.
that. Next shirt. Well,
thank you, Heather. So many shirts. It's all talk. We have no shirts, guys. Everything we say, we want to put on a shirt.
I know, right? Someone just needs dialogue. To like come up with like a list of everything we've said. Next shirt, me.
It's just a walking dialogue shirt with every single quote we've ever said.
You know what we need is we need one of those. You know how they used to sell those belts that were like a screen changed. And you could type in like that's what we need. We need like a shirt that's like a belt and we could just type in the new slogan.
So funny. That's funny. Well, thank you for that. It is. It's a hard topic, but hard topics need to be talked about. And
for sure.
You guys, if you guys have any other stories like this that we can look into, let us have it because it's so hard. And we're all just out here. Well, most of us are out here trying our best. Apparently some are not. But just doing our best and trying to learn and to see what's right and how to do this. And let's help each other. Let's help each other.
For sure.
And if you're ever having hard days, if you're one of those people, if right now you're bullying your child and you're doing something to your child, stop.
Just stop.
Find someone to talk to. And maybe you'll feel like, I can't talk to someone about it. They're going to judge me. Maybe they will, but maybe you need that help. Maybe you need someone to kind of set the record straight and be like, what you're doing is not okay. And it's hard. How about every single time you want to text your child a hateful message, you text me so I could tell you, don't fucking do it. Don't fucking do it. I've got you. I will help you through that moment.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, wow. Okay. Thanks for that. And whoo. That's a way to start the day.
Woo! let's end on a good note.
Okay.
One thing I'm very excited about today. I think I mentioned it earlier. I'm about to spend two days straight in some pools right now. Yes. And I have been feeling very insecure about my mom bod, as many of us do at different points in our life. But I went online and I bought myself a cute little, what do you call them, tikinis, where it's like, you know, I'm going to cover up my mom belly because, you know, it's still popping. And even though I've been going to the gym and feeling better about myself, you put a bathing suit on and it's like a hit and miss thing. But I was very happy with the bathing suit I found. It is cute. It is as flattering as I think it can be. And I'm excited to go out there in my mom bathing suit and get my mom tan on and spend some time with my kids in the pool.
Yes.
So shout out to those summer pool days coming up.
Shout out to those summer pool days and shout out to go wear that bathing suit.
Yeah, go girl.
Rock that body and guess what?
Rock like, it.
You are loved and you are valued and you are cherished and those kids are not going to look at you any other way. And mm-hmm. oh, some kids do look at you other way because actually, let me tell you a story real quick. Yesterday oh, no. at work,
what this child, say? Oh, okay.
not Kenzie, at work, one of my preschoolers came up to me and was like, "Are you gonna have a baby?" And I was like, "No." And then he was like, "What's in your belly?" And I said, "That's Taco Bell." And he stared at me, totally did not understand. And then like one of the teachers started freaking hysterically laughing, but I was like, "Yeah, that is
this is a food this baby. Is exactly." This is why I have to tell you guys, if any of you follow me on social media, let me tell you what my daughter, if you don't follow me on social media, let me tell you what my daughter said to me the other day. How come I can't like find it? Okay. This is what my daughter decided to say. She was looking at my belly and she goes, "Mama, your belly's so big. Your belly's so big." And I was just like, okay, like, thank you for that. Like, we can, like, stop.
We love those reminders. Like, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can, like, chill about that now. And then she goes, "You ate so much. You ate so much. That's why your belly's so big." And I'm like, okay, wow. Like, thank you. Like, we're good. And then she goes, "It's big. So big. Huge." And I was like, okay. Like, you can stop talking about my belly now. Like, thank you. And she goes, "It's this big." And she does that thing where she, like, you know, spreads her arms out all wide. And I'm like, cool. Like, awesome. Like, great. Yeah. And I was just like, we're good. We're good now. Like, stop talking about this. And in the moment, like, obviously, I think it's hilarious. I mean, I still think it's hilarious now. Because, like, we do this all the time. Like, "Ooh, your belly's big. You ate." Because I like to, like... like, "Oh, good job eating. Your belly's so big." Like, I'm not trying to make it, like, a bad thing. So she doesn't see it as a bad thing either.
Right.
But I'm sitting there going, okay, we can stop talking about my belly.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm, like, literally getting trolled by a freaking 3-year-old, but okay.
Oh, my gosh. It's the reverse story.
I know.
I'm going to cover you on the next episode of Like Mother, Like Murder.
Do it. Until that next episode, y'all. You guys know where to find us. Everything is switched over to Like Mother, Like Murder. Make sure you guys are hitting us up on the socials. We have our new Gmail, likemotherlikemurder@gmail.com. So send us those stories, like Rachel said, if there's something you want us to cover. And, you know, until next time.
Yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week and have an amazing weekend. We love you guys. Talk to
we
you.
We love you.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, love you. Bye.
Hey, you.
Yeah, you.
Are you into weird shit? Yeah?
You into cryptids?
What about hauntings? Yeah, I've got a ghost for you.
Oh, you like overworld the beans.
Me too. Check out all these aliens. We have plenty. How do you feel about a good legend?
Want to hear about spooky happenings?
Yeah, you do.
Let us show you what we've got.
Hey guys, grab a drink and join us, Amanda and Sean, every week while we dive into the strange and haunting topics that have piqued our interest.
See you over at The Haunted and the Strange, wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay spooky.